How's everybody doing? Hey, if we haven't met before, my name is Scott. I'm one of the pastors, and I'm just glad you are here. As we continue our series, first month of the year, fresh start. Time to get back in the gym, baby. I don't go to the gym in January because it's too full. I wait for it to weed out. I actually don't go to the gym. I run, and I run outside. Maybe you don't know this. I'm a runner. See, people are really impressed by that. I'm a runner. I've been a runner almost all my life. I was a runner as a child. I think everybody runs as a child because people chase you. I ran in elementary school. I ran in middle school. I ran in high school. And you may not know this, but I was a star. When my mother passed, she had kept all of my first place ribbons, and there's a lot of them. Come on, zoom in. I gotta show this guy. Someone in the first service doubted these are firsts. It says first. In our county, blue was first. So in my county, red was first. I got a couple of purple ones. First Junior Olympics. Ooh, that was a star. I ran in my 20s. I was good, keeping in shape, good health. And then in my 30s, I backslid. I got out of it in my 30s. And then I hit my 40s and thought, man, I better do something. We're talking today about healthy habits. Let me just tell you, you choose your healthy habits. They don't choose you. You don't eat healthy by accident. Come on, somebody, you know that. You don't exercise by accident. You go, oh my goodness, I'm running. No, you choose to get out there. And so when I hit my 40s, I thought, man, I gotta get out there. I remember the first time back, I ran a lot, ran long distance. My first time back in my 40s running was like, I ran like three houses. I'm serious. I ran three houses, and I thought I was going to die. I thought, Scott, you are out of shape, man. Then I walked about 10 houses and ran like two more. Oh, I was like, oh, my God. So you want to have healthy habits? You don't give up. So I got out there, and I ran four houses. Then I ran five houses. Then I ran six houses. Then I ran a block. And then I ran a 1K, 2K, 3K, 4K, 5K. Pretty much every day I run 5K, 5K a day, baby. And I run, you want to be in a healthy habit? Come on. You got to do it when it's easy, and you got to do it when it's hard. So when it's hot, how many know it gets hot? Florida, hot. In the summer, humidity, baby, I get out there and I run, and it's sweating coming off me, and I'm running. And this last week, it wasn't hot. It was cold. Not just Florida cold. It was cold. In the 30s. So then I got to get my alarm. I get up before the sun to run. And it's cold, and I have a decision to make. Who's going to win? Me or sleep? I crushed sleep. I said, get thee behind me, sleep. And I hit the road. In fact, if the tech team has it, I took a picture of my running gear when I'm running and it's cold. You can hardly see me. I'm like a ninja, baby. Look, I see the mask on there and the hood on there. There's my cheerleader behind me, my youngest daughter. She didn't run with me. But I ran in the cold, because when you choose a healthy habit, you choose to do it. And we got to do that physically. We're at the beginning of the year. It's a good time of year to, like, think about what we're eating. Not one amen in the whole house. This is a good time to, like, analyze that actually food is for fuel. Not for fun. It's for fuel. And how many know when you decide to have a healthy habit, all of us drift. You go, okay, I'm going to eat healthy, and then Krispy Kreme is hot. where you're in the mall and they are like pumping that Cinnabon. Oh my Lord. That odor, they have fans. I'm sure they got fans. They're blowing it down the hall. You'd be like down, you can't even see Cinnabon. You know Cinnabon's here. And you drift. And then like all habits, if you want to choose a healthy habit, you've got to choose to discipline your drift. You got to choose to come back. And that's true physically, eating, getting proper sleep at night, exercising, whatever you do, you should do something. And when you drift, you come back. And I'm going to talk today about healthy habits and even more important habits than eating and sleeping and exercising. They're spiritual habits. Because they govern your soul, your emotion, those parts of you that are eternal. Do you know that you are an eternal spirit and soul that lives inside a body? We want to take this body right, but you live inside here, and that part of you is living forever. So there's certain habits, and we're going to talk about four of them that help you to stay strong spiritually. Because I want to be with champions. I want to be with men and women that are dedicated to spiritual health. Because those people change the world. So here's four things we're talking about. The first habit that I'm going to encourage you, and if you've drifted on it, I want to call you back to it. Or if you've never started this habit, first month of the year, let's get this habit down. It is the habit of daily devotions. A daily time that you quiet your mind, because your mind is, some of you, it's chattering right now. I can't believe he's wearing a sweatsuit. Can you do that in church? Is that even allowed? I don't think this church is religious enough for me. Hey, baby, I'm wearing a suit today. And that should be impressive to somebody. Then everybody goes, he doesn't wear a suit. He doesn't wear a suit. No. Stop. What is this? The media, Facebook, news, football. Some of you are thinking about football right now. And what daily devotions does, it quiets your mind so that you can focus on your faith. You literally quiet the voices so you can focus on the eternal. We do that through three ways. During devotional, people read the scriptures, they pray, and they meditate. They read scripture, they pray, and they meditate. Those three things quiet our minds and focus us on the things that are eternal. I love the promise that is in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, listen, there's a manual for life and living. It's called the Book of the Law. It's called the Word of God. This verse calls it the Book of Instruction. And it's a study. How many know to study, you've got to read? Like just having this on your shelf doesn't help. It's got to get into your head. So you got to read it, study this book of instruction. I'm holding in my hand the manual for life and living given to us by the Creator. And just like you have a manual for your car, your truck, your motorcycle, whatever you drove here today, probably in your glove compartment. You may not look at it very often, but that's how some people are with their Bibles. I got one somewhere. Isn't it a good luck charm to just have it around? No, study, read it. And when you read it and meditate on it day and night and also obey it, you can't obey it unless you know it. You obey it. And here's the promise. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Isn't that where you want to be? That's where I want to be there. So that means stopping the chatter and focusing on reading scripture. Jesus had the habit of devotions. It says in Mark chapter 1, he got up early before the sun got up. I think that's a good time of day, the first part of the day, to take time before the chatter of the day starts clamoring for your attention. Jesus got up early before the sun got up, and he went out and he found a quiet place, a place where he wouldn't be distracted by the chatter of his day, and he could take time with his heavenly Father and he could pray. That was Jesus' habit. That's what we call it, daily devotions. Joshua said you need to study, meditate continually. It has to be habitual. And there's many ways to have devotions. We have some devotion books out in the lobby. You can take one of those, read it. I'm going to give you a way that some of our teams do devotions. This is very practical. I'm going to talk to you about a way that people do devotions, and it may be helpful to you. I encourage you to have a journal, something you can write in. And then we're going to talk about soaping your day. Soap, soap, S-O-P-E. How many of you used soap today? Or how many of you use soap pretty much daily? How many of you wish your neighbor put their hand up right now? You just wish that happened. Listen hard now. He's talking. It's just to do this. It's soap. And there's a little acrostic in your study guide. It's just a way to think about having devotions. Number one, read Scripture. And I encourage you to read Scripture the way it was written. It was written as books and letters. So don't just like shotgun all over the Bible, open up here, open up there. Read through books of the Bible. There are reading plans that will take you through the Bible in a year. If that's too much, do it over 2 years. If that's, do it over 3 years, four, I don't care, just be doing it. Take a passage of Scripture and read it. That's the S, read Scripture. The O is for making observation. While you read, let the Holy Spirit illuminate things, just show you things, truths, and some actions that people did. Just observe what it is doing, highlight it, jot it down. For example, let's just do this together. If we were reading today for our daily devotions, 1 Samuel chapter 17, we would be reading about David and Goliath. How many of you have heard about that story before? You know some of the facts. So if you are reading that story and observing just some of the facts, what does it say? What would be some of the facts that you would just sort of maybe come to your mind if you were reading that? And this is not a rhetorical question. It's a live action interaction question. So what would you observe if you were reading that? Did you put your hand up? Okay. Okay, there's a big size issue. This is a big part of the story, actually. David is little. Goliath is huge. Observation. Yeah, what else? Huge faith. And notice this, something else you observe? His brothers didn't have it. His brothers were in the tent, captivated by fear, but David had faith. That's good. That's a good observation. His faith took him onto the battlefield. Okay, what else? What's that? There were rocks involved. Yeah, so that's good. There were rocks. That's a good observation. No, there were five of them. You see, I'm going to tell you this. You may not know this, but beside my seat, I have five rocks always when I sit there because I'm going, I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you. I always keep five rocks by my chair. That's just a little known subject. Something else, you know something about the story? David stood up against Goliath. That's an observation. Maybe one more observation, just about, yeah, go ahead. Gus, speak real loud, dear. Size, that's a good observation. Size has very little to do with power. Okay, now, so once you make some of those observations, and some of you have them, you jot them down in your journal, now we're going to apply it, okay? The application is, what does it say to me? Observation is, what does it say? Application is, what does it say to me? With what I'm facing in my life, how do I take these observations, and how do they apply to where I'm at today? Right? You got that? So if we were applying some of these observations or maybe some other ones you made, how would you apply 1 Samuel 17 to things that you're facing in your life? What would be some applications from 1 Samuel 17? Anybody? Be brave, okay? So maybe you are facing something and you are tempted to hang out in your tent and be captivated by fear, but nobody wins the battle in the tent. You got to get on the battlefield and overcome your fears with your faith. Faith fuels bravery. Good. That's an application. So something you're facing. Or maybe you're facing something that's big. just really a big issue this week, and it seems to be overpowering, and it seems to be bigger than you are. But as the observation was, size isn't about power. God is about power. Remember when David stepped on, he said, hey, you coming against me with sword and with spear? I'm coming with rocks. It's rocks. That was my observation, rocks. All I need are rocks, and I can take down armored giants. Because God and a good rock will rock and roll. Please write that down in your journal. Just write that down. That's your application. That just came to me right now. That's brilliant. I could preach on that someday. Amen. You guys are good. You should be around during sermon prep time. You should help me out. Maybe one more, maybe another application. Yeah, right here. Great application. If you have, the enemy, the devil, always tells you you're inadequate. The devil was telling the whole army of Israel, you are inadequate, hide out, you are mama's boys. And that's the language of the devil. The language of God is, you are strong and you are mighty, not in your name, but in my name. Come on. Yeah, oh, that's good. Yeah, that's good devotions, man. So now, you read the scripture, you observe some facts, you make an application, and then P, you pray. You pray. And I encourage you to pray some of the things that you have just observed and just prayed. Maybe a prayer that says, hey, God, I'm facing some big things, but I thank you that one with God is a majority. I thank you that you are with me, and your name will give me power over what I'm facing. Thank you, God, that I don't have to live in somebody else's clothes. Remember, Saul tried to put his stuff on David? You got to be yourself to win your battle. Thank you, God, that you are with me. You've made me. You've given me a slingshot. It doesn't seem like much. You've given me stones. It doesn't seem like much. But what you've given me is more than enough. Thank you, God. See, just pray. You pray some of this stuff. So just soap. In fact, our small groups that are connected to the message of the week are going to get together, and they're going to soap another passage of Scripture. Just a way to do it with journal. It's just a practical way. Here's something else, and I wrote it down in your study guide. While you're reading Scripture, just look for principles. Is there a principle I can follow? We've mentioned some of them from 1 Samuel 17, that one with God is a majority. Is there a promise I need to claim while you're reading? Is there any promises in this passage I need to claim? Maybe you want to claim the passage that says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of the Lord towers over giants. There's a promise. When I live in the name of the Lord, I'm going to claim that promise. I'm living in his name. Is there a problem I need to avoid? Is there a warning here? Is there something that I don't want? You can learn from people's positive actions, David's, but you can also learn from the negative actions of the brothers. Get out of the tent. Nobody wins in the tent. There's a warning. Get out of the tent. Get where the action's at. Get where your heart is beating fast. Get where you got some rocks and a little sling and God. And see what happens. So three things. Just daily devotions where you listen to his word and apply his word. So if you've drifted on that, come back. Start reading this week. Start maybe this afternoon or start tomorrow. I like early morning. That's what I like to do that. Now, the second habit, essential habit for spiritual health this year, is the habit of fellowship. It's based on this, that we are better together, that God never planned for you to live your life in isolation. He designed you to live your life in community. And actually, you're doing that right now. Good for you. You came today. Good for you. Pat your neighbor on the back. Say, good for you. Go ahead. Good for you. Good for you. You're here. You showed up. Here's a warning. Hebrews lays it out for us. It says, hey, let's not stay away from church. Let's all say that together. Let's not stay away from church. Let's speak to the internet. Let's not stay away from church. The very time, let me just tell you, brothers and sisters, the very day you feel like not being here is the absolute best day for you to show up. Because that's the day the devil is going, no, there's a million things. No, you don't feel good. I think I heard you sneeze last night. Don't go. But here's the warning. Don't stay away from church meetings. Some people are in the habit of doing this. Does anybody know somebody like that? Well, it's a bad habit. That needs to be broken. And the way you break a bad habit, get this, the way you break a bad habit is by instituting a new habit, a better habit. So the habit of coming to church, big gatherings like this, and fellowship actually gets better when you're in small group, connect groups, where you share and talk and have interaction. Because some things happen when we're together that don't happen when we're alone. Here's some of them. When we're together, you get new insights. So I'm teaching today or someone's teaching, you get insights. Well, I never thought about it like that. I never saw it like that because we're together. When you're sitting at home, all you have are your insights. And maybe some over the television, maybe some from a book. And they're good, but there is something when you are with a flesh and blood person and the insight comes on. When a small group is discussing something and all of a sudden it's like, wow, wow, and it's right there. We get new insights when we're together. We have greater opportunities to serve. Not much, there's a little bit of serving at home, but there's a lot of serving here. Like, how many of you have cameras at home? You can't serve with cameras at home. Well, you could, okay. You could bring your camera, take a shot. You could be on the cameras. You know how to do cameras? Brother, we need help. I'm gonna recruit you right now into the tech ministry. There you go, put your hand up, that's what happens. Everyone else going, oh, no, I'm not putting my hand up for nothing else here. I'm just telling you, there's opportunities to serve. There's opportunities to make coffee. How many are glad for the coffee team? Amen, Hope Cafe. There's opportunity to like take care of the little boogers. Those are babies, the little boogers. Yeah. There's opportunity to greet people and smile at people. And there's just opportunities to serve. That's why we're in community. There's opportunities for us to prepare for heaven. Do you know heaven is not a solitary place? Solitary is what I really meant to say. Thank you. I know you were thinking that, and I just picked that up right there. When you see heaven, heaven is filled with community. Intergenerational, intercultural, inter-ethnicity. It's we're all there and we're worshiping, and that's one of the reasons we come together. We're prepping for the big day. And it's not the Super Bowl. We're prepping for the big day. And we come together in worship. We do that together because we're prepping for heaven. It also, get this, it actually creates a heavenly atmosphere that you can't get at home. I worship at home, I do. And when you worship at home, here's the nice thing about worshiping at home, you can choose all the good music. And I could get my books, people say, why don't we sing hymns? I go, I sing them all the time. I pick my own music. Hey, there's a great hymn, I'll sing that one. Just, you can do your own thing. But when we come here, we're prepping for heaven. In heaven, you don't get to choose. I know some of you are gonna say, but Lord, I thought all music in heaven was country western. And the Lord happens to be into jazz. I really think the Lord's into it all, but that's me. That's just how I feel. You're prepping for heaven. So whether you're fellowshipping in good big numbers like this or coming in small connect groups, small groups, it's very important. Let me clarify. We have a connect group that just kicked off. We just started last week, and I was encouraging you to get into a connect group, and I'm back encouraging you again because it's such an important value around here. We had a connect group that started last week. It says Strengthen Marriages, and it's advertised as Marriage on the Rocks. It actually should be Marriage on the Rock. We don't want your marriage to be on the rocks. We want your marriage to be on the rock. We are the rock of Christ, the rock of faith. And there's a misprint. I just want to clarify that for those that are interested in that group. Marriage on the Rock. So if you find it in a stroke it out. I know what the real truth is here. Fellowship, that's a habit. And it's a discipline. There are times I don't feel, and I still come. There's a discipline in that habit. Let me talk about the discipline. The third discipline is generosity. It's giving our lives away. It's sharing. It's actually loving. Generosity is another word to say I'm choosing to love, because love always does something. And it creates a spirit of blessing. And I love the way the proverb says it, as it encourages us to be generous. It says in here, it's worth just this first line of this scripture. It's just so powerful. You got a pen, just circle or underline the first three words. Let's say them together. Generosity brings prosperity. Oh, that's so good. You're not truly prosperous until you are generous. You don't really prosper until you share, till you give. Generosity brings prosperity, but withholding brings poverty. Let me tell you, there are some rich people who are poor. And there are some poor people that are really rich. It's a spirit thing. Those who live to bless others will have blessings heaped upon them. That's good. That's a good place to be. The one who pours out his life to pour blessings will be saturated with favor. Don't you want to live there? Just be. And there's three things. We give from our time. We give from our treasure. We give from our talents. We just give. And I love to celebrate generosity. I love to see generosity. I love to hear stories. And I heard a cool one this last week. In Kids Church, which goes on in another room, it's actually like in that church, that service, they pay you to go to church. I know some of you would like to institute that right here. They give offerings. Yes, they give offerings. But then if you show up, they give you, I don't know what that's called, like kid bucks or hope bucks, or they give you like some money, like coins back. And you get them for showing up. It'd be like if you came, oh, here's your little gold coin. Thank you for coming. And if you run a camera, I'm going to give you two. Amen. And they pay them. They pay them for memorizing the scripture. And then if you get enough kid bucks, they have like kid store, hope store. And you can cash in your money for stuff. I know some of you would love us to do that in this room. And like, have out in the lobby, the Hope Store. Put a Lexus out there. If you get enough Hope bucks, you get that. And that's what the kids do. They like save up their kids' money. And there were two brothers in there. And they were like showing up all the time. They were memorizing their scriptures. And they the money, the Hope bucks or whatever they call them. Now kid bucks, whatever they call them, were pouring back in. And they had their eye on getting an iPad-like tablet that's back there. It's one of the top prizes. And the two of them worked for 2 months. And they pooled their money together, which means it would have taken one kid 4 months to get that prize, working diligently, showing up, knowing their scriptures, running the camera. Now the two of them, after 2 months, pooled their money together to get this iPad-like tablet. And then they sent it to a child that they sponsor in Uganda through Watoto, our childcare ministry. You know what, man? Those guys are prosperous. Those guys are setting themselves up for a life of prosperity. And that's a discipline. I'm just going to tell you, there are some, Darla and I don't give by feeling. Wonder if we feel like giving today. And we don't give by, like, what do we have left over? Our giving is right off the top. The first thing we do is we are tithers. We give 10%. We give beyond our 10%. It's the first thing we do. And I'm just telling you, it's a discipline. It's like me getting up to run in the cold. I don't have, like, an emotional, like, woo, this is so good. I was like, ugh. But we know it's a discipline that brings spiritual growth. Then let me talk about the last one. The last habit I just want to mention, and it's probably the most important habit because it empowers the other three habits. And it is the habit of living in Holy Spirit fullness. Living in Holy Spirit fullness. So that when you don't feel like having devotions, the Holy Spirit draws you to do it. When you don't feel like showing up, the Holy Spirit draws you here to fellowship. When you don't feel like practicing generosity, the Holy Spirit empowers it. It's probably the power behind the other habits. Jesus knew that we couldn't do life in our own power. You can't just live life by willpower. Some people actually have made resolutions this year, and they've broken them already. Because they're trying to buy willpower. I'm not talking about willpower. I'm talking about Holy Spirit power. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 and 8, hey, you need power and you're going to receive it. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. and that power will cause you to vibrate with the presence of God, that you will be witnesses to me wherever you go, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world, which pretty much covers everywhere. Just everywhere you go, you will have the power of the Spirit. Not willpower, His power. His power is better than willpower. Now, he promised that in Acts chapter 1 and 8, and then they went and prayed in a room called the upper room. And in Acts chapter 2 and 4, they received the power when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's what it says. They were all filled. How many of them were filled? How many of you would be included in all? This is important for all of us. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They yielded their language to God. They prayed and spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were filled with the Spirit. And then in your study guide, if you have it out, I just put a bunch of scriptures that talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul, to do his thing, had to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter, to do his thing, had to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, a lot of those scriptures, if you look at them, are from the book of Acts, where the church was getting started. Here's what would happen. They would be filled with the Holy Spirit, and this, they would listen, and the Holy Spirit would give direction. And I would love you this year to live with Holy Spirit direction, the guidance of God, those inner promptings, and have the faith to do them, the power to do them, that voice, that whisper of the Holy Spirit that comes when you are filled with the Spirit. And he, I promise you, God is talking to you. But sometimes we don't hear because we're filled with some other stuff. Seriously. And it jams up the communication. So I pray, one of my disciplines is, in my prayer time, I pray each day, Holy Spirit, fill me. And if there's anything in me that shouldn't be in me, I offload it. If there's negativity, a negative conversation, a negative emotion from the day before, I offload it. If there's any darkness, an image, something I've seen as just a conversation, I offload that darkness. If there's any sin that's besetting me, I offload it because I'm making room so that I will be filled with the Holy Spirit and there won't be room for anything else. And then he can speak. He speaks to my soul. He prompts me. He guides me. I wouldn't live in this town if it wasn't for Holy Spirit fullness. Because there were thousands of voices saying, don't move there, don't do that. But we followed that inner prompting. We wouldn't be on this property. When this property became available and we didn't have the resources, people were saying, you can't do that, it's too much. We put up pictures of the property and I had a guy tell me off in the church. He said, take those stupid, pictures down. Because we will never be on that property. Well, I offloaded that conversation so I could be filled with the Holy Spirit. Keep listening to him. You have to do that. You have to listen to him. Offload the negativity so you can keep listening. We wouldn't be on this property but for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't be giving this message but the fullness of the Holy Spirit. When we prep, I just don't like pull out a book. I say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to the church? The most important voice in this room is not what Scott is saying, but what the Spirit is saying. Would to God that you would hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Because when you listen, he will take you to places this year that you can't even dream about. And that's what I want for this year. Hallelujah. 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 So brothers and sisters, we're going to stand and we're going to pray. Can I encourage you to stand? Our prayer team is going to come to the altar and prepare to minister. I want us to close our eyes. I want us to open our hearts and be very aware that Jesus is in the house. And I promise you, I know what he's doing. Jesus is knocking at your heart's door. And all you have to do is open the door and he will come in. Some for the first time in your life, the presence of God will enter you. Some for the first time in a long time, you'll begin fellowshipping with Jesus once again because you've been far away from God. And this is just your moment to come back to God, to get back into his plan, to get those healthy habits started again this year. You've drifted. Now discipline your drift and open your heart. We're going to pray a prayer together, and I'm going to encourage everyone to pray it, every single person to pray it. And it's a prayer that invites the presence of God to the very core of our being. Can you pray with the people around you out loud? Good strong voice. God loves to hear a good strong voice. Would you say out loud this prayer with all of your friends around you? Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I open my heart and my life to Jesus Christ. Come into me. You are my Savior. You are my Lord. I repent of my sins. I leave them behind. And I turn towards you, Lord, to receive your love, your grace, your forgiveness, your mercy. Thank you for never giving up on me. Now help me to follow Jesus every day of my life. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, 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 amen. That's a good prayer, guys. Yeah, come on, we'll celebrate that. Now, if you pray that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time, it's essential. You talk to one of our prayer ministers, say, I prayed with Scott. But they're here to pray with other people as well. Needs, maybe just be filled with the Spirit. Maybe your marriage is on the rocks and you'd like to get it on the rock. Good to pray. Pray about those things. Maybe there's somebody, when we talked about those that are not here, and your heart just went to somebody to say, man, I wish they were here. They need to be here. Maybe you need to pray with somebody about that and just agree that God's blessing will be on them. We're here to pray with you. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I pray you guys will be filled with the Holy Spirit. So you'll minister in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, healings, freedom, deliverance. And then as we're praying, the communion tables will open. And if you'd like to receive communion today, you'd be more than welcome. You don't have to be a member of this church to receive communion. You don't have to be a member of this church to receive prayer, just a friend of Jesus. As you come to the table of the Lord, the communion table, you just remember Jesus. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Remember that he died for you on the cross, take away all your sin, all your shame. He went into the tomb and he didn't stay there. 3 days later, he rose from the dead and he's here with you right now. The best friend you'll ever have is Jesus. Celebrate his presence in the communion. If you've been a guest here today, thank you so much for coming. We love the fact that you're here. We'd like you to come again. We'd like to meet you, if we have the chance, in the VIP room. If you're a guest, stop by. It's back at the left-hand side. You can't miss it. It says VIP. Very easy. Very easy to remember. Oh, VIP. That's what you are. You are a VIP to us, and we're glad you're here. So what's going to happen right now is I'm going to pray a blessing. In my blessing, one of the prayers I'm praying is that we'll all be filled with the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't it be amazing if all of us were filled with the Holy Spirit before we left? He's here. He wants to fill us. All we have to do is ask and receive. So just let that happen. And then receive prayer. The worship team will lead us. Receive communion. Go with the grace of God. But I just pray God will bless you, be with you. So let's receive this prayer. Lord, I just pray right now for your sons and your daughters. Come, Holy Spirit. Breathe upon us. We want to live in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. If there's any negativity, any sin, we offload it right now. We repent of it so we can make room to be filled with you and nothing more. May we hear that inner voice of the Spirit. Be with our prayer team. Fill them with the Holy Spirit so that when they lay hands on the sick, they will recover. When they pray with people in agreement, spiritual life will explode. The kingdom of God will explode in this room, Lord. Do your work, we pray, and do it your way. And we'll be careful to give Jesus all of the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. And everybody says, amen. Let's give the Lord just an ovation of praise. Hallelujah. Love you guys so much. Come forward for prayer. Come forward for communion. And the blessing of the Lord be with you.